Welcome to the Mostly Pat Out Night, Mostly. I'm Grivyard, joined by my co-host, Salem.
Hello.
This is episode 151 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. Eating flesh, destroying the brain, and body dismemberment. Comedy? Horror and comedy do work well when they're done right. We've seen plenty of examples when they don't. When they try really too hard, I feel, is when they fail catastrophically in this world, right?
Well, there's a long history of that. I mean, I would say like Return of the Living Dead is a horror comedy, I would say.
Yeah.
And that there wasn't the first one.
Yeah. But like I said, sometimes we see, especially newer horror comedies, don't do so well. But you know, at least these ones were sticking with zom-coms for the most part, with Dead Alive, aka Brain Dead, which is another American title in like 1990. Cemetery Man from 1994, but as my wife asked, like, what year is this from? I said the 90s. She goes, it looks like the 70s. I go, you are correct.
No, it looks like the 90s in Italy.
Okay. And of course, maybe the ultimate horror comedy, Shaun of the Dead.
I don't know about that.
To me, it's pretty high up there, spoiler.
For you, sure.
Yeah. So we'll start off, with Dead Alive from 1992, early Peter Jackson career.
it was kind of funny because I had seen Dead Alive and Meet the Feebles.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I heard that they were making Lord of the Rings and Peter Jackson was, like, directing it, I'm like, the guy that made Meet the Feebles? I was like, what are they smoking? I had no good expectations for Lord of the Rings, as I was like, okay, yeah, like Dead Alive's all right. Mm-hmm. But like, wow, Lord, go from Dead Alive and Meet the Feebles to like Lord of the Rings. I was like, what the fuck is that?
And Bad Taste. I don't know who looked at his work and go, this guy can do high fantasy.
Right. And I was like, New Line Cinema literally like gambled their entire studio on Lord of the Rings. Like, if that movie would have tanked, if that movie would have failed, they would have gone under as a company.
Yeah.
They literally gambled the entire company. And obviously, it worked out well for them.
Yep.
They made everything back plus a lot more with just the first film. So, it worked out well. Peter Jackson did a great job. But at the time, I was very suspect.
And now you go talk to people that don't know his work. They go, oh, Peter Jackson, what else has he done? They go back and watch his early catalog going, what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a Dead Alive, 1992. Starts off, 1959? It's New Zealand, 1959. Essentially a guy going to get a rat monkey from Kong Island.
Skull Island.
But Skull Island, and it's like, oh man, it's weird. Oh, you got bit. Oh, got chopped into pieces. Here, let's sell this to these, New Zealanders, and we'll make a couple bucks. Cool. Anyway, we introduce to Lionel and his overprotective mother, and Paquita, who owns a local or runs a local. I don't know what they would call it, but I'd say a bodega, right?
Well, that's what grocery stores used to be.
Yeah.
It was like a storefront. You'd go in, hand them the list, and then they would just give you the stuff on your list. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to go up and down the aisles to find your shit. That's old-timey general goods store. That's what they used to be.
Yeah. But she, she's kind of trying to find this man because she's in lust with the, milkman.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's whatever he is. Yeah, some kind of delivery guy.
He likes sports. That's about all you need to know about him. And she's like, oh, no, you have to find this guy. He's going to have this symbol, blah, blah, blah. Lionel comes in and gets lists, and he spills the jerky and other things and forms this sun and the moon meeting symbol. It's like, oh, man, we're going to be in love. Let's go on dates. Okay, they go to the zoo, and they go there, and the overbearing mother is like, I have to be overbearing and watch everything you're doing. Well, there she gets bitten by the rat monkey. and she's like, "Oh, I'm sick, but we gotta do stuff because the WLWL woman's something, but like essentially
old timey women's league."
Yeah, but she's like, you know, second or treasury secretary elect. We gotta clean this up, but she's getting sick and like, oh man, this isn't good. She's kind of like becoming infected, and we saw why, you know, what the natives were afraid of essentially, and why they're cutting off those body parts just to stop the infection. Anyway, they think she's not doing well. Paquita comes with her dog. Her, you know, Lionel's mom immediately eats the dog, like, and just only has the fur left. She pulls it out. They're like, oh man, this isn't good. Call the nurse, and well, then she pretty much dies. But kind of takes a nurse with her. Like, oh yeah, she's in the hospital now, cool. And then kind of we see that the nurse becomes resurrected, and yes, they are zombies. Yeah, so all that's kind of going down, and then you know, like, oh man, she's not okay, and then she escapes the house, gets hit by a trolley, and like, oh, now she's dead. And so they have a cemetery, but Lionel's been kind of like injecting them with tranquilizer that he got from a Nazi vet.
A Nazi in disguise.
Nazi in disguise, yeah. Not very disguised when there's a big hole revealing the swastika. But so that's going on there. It's like, oh man, she's not staying dead. I got to keep sedating her. Anyway, she kind of breaks out, and then, you know, kind of everyone knows that she's dead. Then his uncle comes, like, hey, this isn't cool. But sorry, before that, he goes to, you know, she gets buried, but has to go dig her up. And lo and behold, zombies come and get attacked. You know, the ninja priest who kicks ass for the Lord starts firing off the zombies as they're coming. He eventually gets impaled on a headstone, and all these people are kind of just being brought back to his house, and he's kind of keeping them sedated. So we have like one.
So they become zombies. Yeah. So they become zombies, and then he sedates them after that.
Yeah.
Just so they die and then become zombies. Just to clarify. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, he brings them back to South Child, doesn't know what to do with them, and the nurse and the priest just can't keep their hands off each other and make a baby. One of the most annoying babies in horror movie history. As that's going on there, you know, the uncle finds out. It's like, oh, you got stiffs in the basement. I want the house and all the money, and I won't tell anyone what you're doing. He goes, deal. Uncle then decides to throw a big party where we have, like, it feels like 50 to 100 people invited.
there's at least 100 people there.
Yeah. But he's like, you know, Paquita comes, like, we got to take care of this. So, like, okay, well, we'll do this poison. We'll poison them all and bury them. Cool. Well, that poison turns out to be poison to humans, but like animal
stimulant,
yeah. And they just become like super zombies and start just destroying everyone, and people are trying to fight for lives. Lots of gruesome gore going on. You know, the uncle kind of comes back and forth. He's not a good guy by any stretch of the imagination, but he does kill a good number of them with his knives. It's a just classic zombie, you know, free-for-all that's going on there. Lionel eventually gets, like, a lawnmower, starts just chopping them all up to bits. So pretty much the only people that are left are the uncle, Paquita, and Lionel. And the uncle goes into the basement, and wait, we haven't seen Mom yet. Oh, look, there she is, and she, like, just rips him, his, you know, head out with his spine almost all the way out of his body. He gets killed. But yeah, the mom's now just this naked giant rat monkey human hybrid, I guess. Maybe like, I don't know, 20 feet tall. And the house starts burning. She shoves Lionel back inside her body, but he cuts his way through with that thing. House is on fire. She falls to her death. End of movie.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie, you know, this, I don't know how many times I've seen this movie. Probably at least 20. I probably saw this for the first time, probably the mid-90s. And when I realized that there's like something else like this that exists, and people are like, oh, this is like New Zealand Evil Dead 2. And yeah, I don't disagree with that assessment. Listen, I thoroughly enjoy this movie a lot. You know, like I said, at that point in time, I thought this was just great, and just to see this gory fest that, you know, no holds bar, right? That was my first impression. Like I said, it's good to rewatch too. You know, it's not like you have to think about much of it, but do you recall your first time seeing this?
First time, I don't know. It would be in the late 90s at some point. We used to have bad movie nights where we would just rent, you know, bad movies and just watch them all. It was a lot of trauma movies, a lot of, you know, this kind of movie. I mean, it was like, yeah, Dead Alive, Cemetery Man, Evil Dead 2. Like, I watched them all in, like, I don't know, like, there was a few month period because we'd have a movie night at least once a week. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was always. Yeah, so it's like this and trauma movies and, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody would rent weird porn movie. You know, it was just weird stuff that we could find. And then whenever we'd have parties, we'd always put it on in the background. It's just like background, you know. The sound would always be turned down, but it was just like good visuals to have in the background of, you know, party and stuff. Yeah, so it was, I don't know, I've seen it a lot. I don't. It's been a while since I've seen it because, again, I really haven't gone back to any of these films since I stopped watching them so much. Mostly everything I watched has been newer stuff. I did go back and watch some of my favorites, but I wouldn't call this one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like I said, it's a weird thing, but it's good for it, I think. I said, I don't know how many times you've rewatched this now overall, though.
I don't know. I watched it a lot back then. Recently, not at all. I mean, in the last 20 years, I maybe watched it once.
That's fair. Do you want to go ahead and do your highlights first then for the movie?
Sure. Okay. So, I mean, the FX are, they're ridiculous, but fun, right? I mean, they're, like, crazy out there, but again, they're all, it's all in the spirit of fun, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get, like, you know, you tear the zombie body apart, and it, like, you know, takes on its own form, so, like, you know, they tear the zombie in half, right? So it's, like, the top half is one entity, the legs are now another entity, and then the guts that spilled out are now another entity. So, like, you know, the intestines are acting like a snake, and it walks, like, with the lungs. I mean, there's a lot of ridiculous stuff in this movie, and it's done in the spirit of fun, and it's, you know, fun. There's a lot of old school, like, stop motion animation, you know, especially with the rat monkey, which is, it's fun to see, right?
Yeah.
I like those. I mean, it's got like a crazy, like, manic energy to it, right? I mean, it's a very, I don't want to use the word generic word exciting, but it, like, there's always something happening. There's no real slow beats in this movie. It's like manic zany the whole time.
Oh yeah.
And that's good. I mean, again, you know, and then I think it just culminates with the lawnmower, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, just crazy stuff. I want to say this movie held a record for, like, the amount of blood used.
It did
for a while. I know it got, like, ousted from that spot, but I know at some point in time it held a record of, like, most fake blood used in a film.
Yeah, I think it beat Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, because it was Evil Dead 2, and I know this one, like, beat it out, and then I don't remember what beat this. But
Hostel, I believe, used a lot.
Yeah, I don't remember which one it was. I just know that at some point it did. But for a stretch of time, Dead Alive did hold the record for most fake blood used in a film, which is always fun. And that's all I got.
Oh yeah, yeah. I as you said, the gore, the amount of blood, the wackiness, it works in this movie, because you can't take this movie seriously in the least bit. But like I said, for it not being taken seriously, like, the practical effects are amazing. You know, you have you know, skin being ripped off face, you have people being cut in half, you have, as you said, the intestines becoming its own entity, rib cages being ripped out, and just a plethora of just, like, insane kills. I'll culminate in, like, the most gooey lawnmower scene of all time.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's funny because, you know, it plays on itself. Like, there's so much blood everywhere that people are slipping and sliding and can't run or walk.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but...
Oh, yeah, like, cartoon cosmic level of... He's literally not able to move because his feet are not going anywhere. Yeah, I think it's interesting that, you know, Skull Island was there. And if you watch when Peter Jackson redid King Kong, there was the rat monkey box on their boat from when they went to Skull Island.
Yeah.
So I just think that's interesting that it does stuff like that. As stupid as it is, you know, in the priest, like, you know, I kick ass for the Lord. It's a stupid scene, but, like, it works with that guy.
That was one of the lines that, you know, we would always yell to each other back in those days. I heard too many times. I don't want to hear it again. But yeah, it's a fun line at the time until you get sick of it.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. Like, holy shit, this guy's gonna do something. He does a little bit, but then gets killed. So, yeah, like I said, all the same reasons you said. I will roll into my low points. The porridge scene. Or pudding scene, whatever you want to call it. It's when he's like, the first way, the way the guy's eating it is really, really gross. And then the mother squirts blood from her wound into it, and he eats it, and his wife just watches and says nothing.
Well, the guy's an ass. She probably was hoping it would kill him or something.
Yeah, but like, even, you know, especially back then, you know, anyone that listens to the show knows me, I don't deal well with bodily fluids that are like disgusting like that. And it always got to me, like, that's the grossest scene in my mind of the entire movie.
it bothers me too. That scene is it's on my list as well. I would also say the flip top head scene where he's like feeding food to the nurse whose like head is almost cut off, like into the hole in her neck directly. It's very gross.
Yeah, like I said, we can watch the people getting dismembered, but like that's gross. It's close to puke.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah. Of course, the baby is annoying. You know, I don't. It's weird when he takes the baby out for a stroll. Like, it's unnecessary to the plot of the movie.
Yeah, that scene is just bizarre. Like, what do you think you're going to be able to do with that?
Right. I don't know. Obviously, the baby was like conceived and born within like a day.
Yeah, it's like within 24 hours.
Yeah, it's a zombie baby. It looks like a garbage pail kid, essentially. And of course, the overbearing mom. She's awful. Can't stand that, but obviously she's meant to be disliked by us. But that's about it. How about you? What are your low points?
I'll say, like, the actual, like, love story part. It's, like, very cheesy and very, like, just cliche. I mean, it's, like, so boring, that part. I mean, it's not very long, but it's, like, can we just get over this now? Can we just move forward? And then, like, as soon as the zombie stuff starts happening, he just, like, completely avoids her. I mean, she obviously comes in and out of the story, but, like, the love part is done. So it only like happens in a small like 10-minute window, but it's just super annoying, just too cheesy for me. Now, I'll also say this film, it really feels like the camera is too close to everyone. I don't know, you look like a person gets a close up and their head is the entire screen, right? Like even when two people are talking, it's like all you see is their giant heads. Like, there's no, like, environment around them. You can't see, like, what clothes they're wearing. It's, like, it's super zoomed in. It feels like the camera is way too close to everybody all the time. Like, almost every scene, it's like, dude, take a step back. Why do you have to be right on top of them? I think it leads to that manic energy, but it's, like, I think we could have gotten a little bit more room. And then, of course, we already talked about the eating scenes and that fucking baby. God, I like one of the most annoying things in zombie movies is when they have like goofy babies and shit, and drives me insane. I did not like it. That's all I got.
That's all you got? All right. Well, our olives for this week are severed body parts because, well, I've lost count how many we had in these movies. Obviously, zombies, you're going to have that. So, Salem, how many severed body parts out of 10 do you give Dead Alive from 1992?
Again, it's a fun movie. Again, it's not a movie that I would want to rewatch frequently, but it's an interesting film, you know. Mm-hmm. I give it a six severed body parts out of 10.
Like I said, this is just really classic for me. I've always loved this movie. Now, as a part of it, nostalgia, yeah, I will agree to that and the cheesiness, but I'm giving this 8 severed body parts out of 10. It hits all the right notes for me for what a horror comedy and zombie and blood soaking can be. So, all right. Next up, we have Cemetery Man from 1994. Take it away, Salem.
All right. So there's a lot going on here, so I'm going to try to piece this out. So I guess the first and major thing you need to know is there's a guy, you know, Rupert Everett, the actor, is a caretaker of a cemetery. Mm-hmm. He has an assistant named Nagi who's like a, you know, kind of slow, doesn't talk, right? Just kind of like a, you know, big, pudgy mess.
Just says Nog.
Right. Yeah. Or just Nog, like, yeah. He's just there as kind of like, you know, the hired help kind of thing, right? So he's in charge of this cemetery. And in this cemetery, for some reason, some people, not all people, but some people, 7 days after they're buried, they come back, dig their way out of the grave, and try to go and attack him or Nagi. And so he has to shoot them. And this is like become routine for him.
Mundane,
He's been doing it for a long time, so he just kind of like sits at his desk, you know, he waits and makes sure, you know, like he's ready, like he has timetables for all these people when they died, when they're buried, and like when they're going to come back and all that. So this is kind of his mundane thing. So we get to see him go through that routine a few times. Nagi, for whatever reason, likes to watch TV with headphones on. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of scenes of like him trying to get Nagi's attention. But I don't know why. Like, again, if you're, like zombies would attack your house, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't use headphones. But that's just that's me. But anyway, that's least gripe in this film. Anyway, so that's the basic premise of this film, right? Everything else is built upon. Now, the first kind of arc here is that there is a widow, a young, beautiful woman who had a very old husband. Who the guy assumes, oh, did you marry him for money? And she's like, no, he was a great lover, right?
Yeah.
So he dies. She, like, can't deal with it very well. And he's, like, infatuated with her because she's beautiful. And so they kind of, like, start a relationship. And she doesn't want to hide anything from her husband, so they bone on his grave.
Yes.
And then after they bone, the husband comes out of the ground, and he manages to take out the husband, but not before the husband bites her, and she just, like, dies. Mm-hmm. Right? And the doctor, like, examines her and everything. And like, oh, she just died from fright. You know, like, it wasn't the bite that killed her. She died of fright. Yeah. So he, like, you know, kind of gets depressed and everything. She doesn't have any family or anything. You can have the body, which is bizarre to me. But mm-hmm. And he's not a suspect in any way.
Because he's impotent.
Yeah, well, I was getting to that.
Okay.
Because it's not mentioned yet. Which is the odd part. It's not mentioned until this scene. Anyway, so yeah, the guy, the cop guy, the detective guy is like, yeah, you can keep the body, do whatever. I know it wasn't you because she just had sex and you're impotent, so I know it couldn't have been you. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make any sense because we just saw them boning, right?
Yes.
So it's a very, like, what scene of, like, what does that mean? And I guess it kind of plays into another scene later on, but I don't know where that came from.
Well,
maybe there was another scene that got cut
out. It's from the the what's all this then, guys? They spread the rumor that he's impotent.
Right, but he's on board with it.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, in agreement. It's not like a rumor.
Yeah.
Like, that is a real thing for him. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know why, it doesn't matter. So, basically, he gets depressed. He lays her down on this, like, slab, and then waits the 7 days, and then the 7 days are up. She gets up and says, oh, you know, I let's love some more, or whatever, and he shoots her in the head. And then later on, I'm just going to tell you what happens in this arc now, because there's other things that happen in the meantime, but later on, she comes back again, basically meaning she wasn't dead the first time.
Yep.
So she came back after 7 days and was actually still alive. He shoots her, then she comes back as a zombie 7 days after that. Still kind of sort of conscious and wanting to bone again, but, you know, whatever, he can't do it, so he kills her. So, second arc, that he goes into town with Nagi. They meet up with the mayor, and the mayor's daughter is like a literal child, and Nagi is like obsessed with her, and can't talk to her because he's, you know, kind of slow and scared, so he like throws up on her when he tries to talk to her. She's like, oh, that's gross, whatever, I'm gonna go party with my buddy Claudio on a motorcycle. So they all like motorcycle around and they get into a horrible car crash and die.
Yep.
With a busload of Boy Scouts.
Yep.
Who also die. So there's a whole bunch of people, there's like, you know, 30 people that get buried in the cemetery. Now, they come back early. They don't wait 7 days. They come back early, so they catch everybody off guard. There's like a big, huge battle scene. For whatever reason, they buried Claudio with his motorcycle. So he's like riding around the cemetery with his motorcycle. They're trying to catch him and kill him and whatever, and they finally do. There's this girl that's like super obsessed with Claudio that wasn't even the other daughter's girl. It was some other girl. Whatever. She gets killed too. Whatever. The mayor's daughter dies as a result of this whole thing, and then Nagi cuts off her head and keeps her as like his pet. And she's like super happy about it. You know, he like puts her in his broken TV, mm-hmm. and they just like hang out and talk all the time, even though Nagi doesn't talk. So anyway, at some point the mayor, you know, comes back for to dig her up for like a photo shoot. I don't understand what that's all about.
Election year.
Yeah, he was going to do a photo shoot with her dead body, and then digs her up and he finds out the head is gone. She starts calling to him and he goes into the house. He basically says, like, oh, you know, they want to get married. And he's like, oh, over my dead body. And she's like, okay. And she just, like, her head flies over to him and just bites his neck and kills him. Very, very bizarre. Anyway, so there's a whole other, like, battle type thing that happens after that, to where, like, the Grim Reaper comes and talks to the cemetery guy and is like, hey, stop killing all my dead people. They're, like, my friends. I want them to stay here. Just go kill some alive people.
Yep.
And so then he does.
Mm-hmm.
It's insinuated that he's been going to town and just killing random people. But then we actually, like, see him do that. Like, he goes into town and, like, murders, like, you know, like, a couple of hookers. Well, he didn't know they were hookers. He went to them for, like, love or whatever. And he murders a bunch of them. I'm sorry. I missed the part of... You know, again, we said he was impotent, right? So he meets another girl that looks exactly like the widow before.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally the same actress. And then she's like, oh, I really want to get with you because I'm afraid of penises. But I heard that you're impotent, so I could love you because I wouldn't have to worry about your penis.
Yep.
And he's like, okay. So he goes to the doctor to get his, like, penis cut off. And the doctor's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. How about just the shot that makes it not work for a month? And then that doesn't work because then he goes and, you know, he breaks up with her because she gets raped. And then that somehow cures her fear of penises. And now she's, like, engaged to the guy that raped her. It's bizarre. Anyway, so that's when he gets angry and he goes and gets a hooker. He doesn't know she's a hooker. And then he gets very depressed because he finds out that she's charging him for what he thought was real love. So he kills them all in a fire. and then instead of him getting blamed, his like best friend gets blamed for somehow he took the blame for killing those people after he killed his own family. So he goes to visit him in the hospital. He just starts murdering doctors and nurses and everything in the hospital. And like no one can catch him or figure out what he's fucking doing. And so he basically finds out that he's like, you know, kind of trapped in this world, and like the Grim Reaper like won't let him get caught for killing all these people, because he's killing live people but he's staying away from the dead people, so the Grim Reaper is letting him get away with everything. So anyway, he decides that he needs to get away because they need to get out of here. So him and Nagi pack up their little VW bug and then just leave, and then they drive and drive and drive, get through this tunnel, and then the road just ends. And then, like, Nagi kind of, sort of, like, almost dies from smashing his head on the windshield when he stops the car. And then when Nagi, like, comes back and they're looking over the cliff, he, like, goes to, like, shoot. And Nagi grabs the gun and throws it off the cliff. And then they, like, switch places to where Nagi goes, all right, let's go back home. And then the cemetery man goes, like, Nagi. And then they get back in the car, and then that's the end.
Yep.
I don't think I missed anything.
No, not really.
But again, it's like bizarre, like multi arcs. To where, like, you know, like there's the one arc of like him and the widow. There's the weird arc of him and the impotent lady. There's the weird arc of him, like, you know, murdering people in the town and not getting caught. And then there's like him trying to leave and then looping back. But having switched places with Nagi, it's a very bizarre film, but I like it. I like it a lot. I don't know how much you liked it, but
it was one of my favorites
from that era.
And that's okay. Oh no! This is something like, I know I've seen the poster. I know I've seen kind of everything with them. Like, I'm just thinking, like, did I see it? And yeah, I have. Like I said, the only thing I didn't remember really was the ending for it. But, you know, sometimes I watch these movies with the wife, she goes, what is this? This makes zero sense. I don't know what this is. And I go, Cemetery Man. She goes, what's going on? And I tell her, she's like, so she's dead. Yeah. But she's back. Yeah. And there's two more versions of her. Yeah. Oh, okay. But yeah, it just goes way off the rails at the end, which is interesting for this movie.
Yeah, like it starts off as like a zombie comedy, and it ends up being like an almost David Lynch film.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, I love that. You know, it kind of turns everything on its head. Like every time you think you know what's going on, you don't. And it's just I appreciate that.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You want me to do my highlights first, then?
Go for it.
All right. So, you know, blanket kisses. I can't kiss you except through these sheets. Yeah.
You know, some people come up with ways of getting around things, okay? Like, you have the Mormons with the soaking and the jump humping, right? You have, like, the Catholic girls. They're like, oh, you can't, you know... I can't have sex before I'm married, but you know you can have my ass. You know, I mean, it's people make weird sexual rules for themselves to like cope with things that they don't think they should be doing. So I think that's just what it is. She thinks she's like dishonoring her husband by loving someone so fast, and in her head that somehow fixes it.
Yeah. I say this is definitely a giallo movie.
Yeah, well, I guess you mentioned that. It's made in Italy, and it's made by an Italian guy.
Yeah, both mostly British actors.
Well, one British actor. The rest of them are Italians.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I like that they call them returners. They're not zombies. They're returners. So I like that. And, of course, essentially, because the guy that got buried with his motorcycle, like, the motorcycle also became like part zombie.
Well, he was just like permanently merged with it.
Yeah. which is interesting. So, no, it's all interesting, and it is wacky, as you said. It's just David Lynch at the end. So, those are my highlights. How about yours?
I love the concept of it, right? Because again, like when you see the beginning of this, when you're introduced to like the premise of the cemetery, you think you know where the movie's going, and you're totally wrong. Right. But the concept of it is still a fun thing to build on, right? There's a whole lot of different stories you can build on it, and there are wacky directions that they take in this, but it's a fun kind of concept, and I dig it. There's also, I don't know, do you ever play the game Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines?
No.
There is actually a quest in the game that is like a direct copy of this movie. Really? Or like, yeah, you go to, there's a guy that is like runs at a cemetery, and like every night zombies wake up and he has to kill them all, and you go there at, because it has, you're a vampire, so it has to be at night, and you go there and he's like, hey, I'll like give you a bunch of stuff and training and firearms if you like keep an eye on the cemetery while I go out to town and party it up. And so like he leaves, and there's just like this ungodly amount of, you know, zombies everywhere, and you have to like keep them inside the cemetery. It was like one of the hardest quests in the game, but it's like, again, it's like directly related to this movie, which I appreciated because I played it not too long after I'd seen this movie for the first time, which was fun. I mean, again, the love stories in this movie are bizarre.
A little bit.
Yeah, they're all freaks like for each other. You know, like, I'm afraid of penises and you're impotent. We're perfect for each other. You know, just the weird kind of scenes, you know. It's just bizarre but fun in my eyes. Again, how in the beginning of this film, it is already routine for him to kill the zombies, right? Like, almost every movie that would have approached this would have been like, this is a new thing that they have to figure out. No, and the movie that starts, he already knows the drill and already knows what to do, and it's not a surprise for him or Nagi even at this point. Which is, again, I thought it was fun to start out with the casual way. When he starts just murdering people in the town, it's just really weird because he's like just casual about, like, he doesn't care. It doesn't seem like he really wants to do it, but he's doing it simply because, like, I think he's given up at that point and he just wants to like get caught or have somebody shoot him back, and like no one will, because he's like, the Grim Reaper is like chosen at that point, so he can pretty much do whatever he wants and he doesn't get caught. And then the ending just, who knows what the fuck is going on in that ending?
No idea.
But it's fun.
They're in the snow globe.
Yeah, it's an uncommon ending, and I appreciate that.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and then rolling in my lows here. There is some like bad editing cuts in this movie. It almost feels like it was cut like for commercials. You know, where there's like a scene and they'll say something and then it like bizarrely cuts off, fades to black, and then just pops to the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd. But it's not like in regular commercial like cadence. It's just like randomly it does that. I don't know if the guy that was editing it was known for commercials or something. I don't know, but that's what I got out of it. It was very, very odd. And again, like, you know, he's immediately just not a suspect. The cop's like, well, I know it wasn't you that did it because you're impotent. And she was, you know, she had sex recently. Like, okay. That's it? That's the only proof you need? Oh, yeah. She doesn't have any family or anything. You can just have the body. Here you go. It's like, what the fuck was that? Again, the widow's murder is like a tragedy, right? Like, I would assume that the whole plot of the movie would be based around that, but it's really just a section of it. You know, it's where like he finally finds the love of his life, she dies, and then he, you know, she returns and he kills her, and then she finds out that she wasn't dead the first time, and he had to kill her again the second time. It's a tragedy, but in this movie, it's just the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Nagi is like a pedophile.
Because
like, she's the mayor's daughter is like a child. I mean, I guess she doesn't really look like one, but everyone says like she's literally a child. Like,
yeah.
And he's like all like wants to marry her and shit. Like, okay.
I get that he's all there.
Yeah, I was like, I know he's a little slow and he probably has the mentality of a child, but like that's still not good. Mm-hmm. But again, yeah, the impotency thing. Like, it's not mentioned until that point. Like, it's literally not mentioned at all. Like, we already see him in a sex scene, and then it's like the next scene, oh yeah, you're impotent. What? Like, what do you mean? Like, we just saw a sex scene. Like, if he was impotent, why did we just see a sex scene? Just bizarre. And again, like, the whole, you know, rape cures a penis phobia, that's not cool. Like, don't ever do that.
No.
That's all I got.
That's all you got? Yeah, it's... you know, I just, like I, before I wrote this, I'm like, you know, I don't know. It, like, he says one bite kills you. And, like, well, one bite wouldn't kill her. Like, oh, she's dead. No, I don't think so. I don't think they ever show, like, one bite causes someone to immediately die in this movie. So I don't know. Maybe it's just, it happened in the past, so it became so mundane that we just didn't get to see that, where one bite would actually kill someone.
No, the doctor, the only time that someone dies from one bite is the widow.
Yeah.
And the doctor guy literally says later on, she did not die from the bite. Her heart stopped from fear.
Right. Which is why I don't understand why, you know, he would think that she would die from one bite. But,
He called the doctor because he didn't know what the fuck was going on. Yeah. I don't think he thought that.
And I like that, you know, he likes to be learned and uppity about everything. So he's like, I only read two books. Well, I didn't finish one of them. The other one's old phone books. So that was weird. You know, you kind of feel sorry for Nagi briefly, just because he is big and eats just like, what, spaghetti on salad?
Yeah, I don't know what that was. It was like spaghetti with a bunch of weird bread on top or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and he's literally like shoving it full fistful into his face.
Yep.
And like the ending, it's just like, okay, like, what is the ending? I didn't research into it, but I'm like, okay, so they switch places. It's because of the car accident. Has he always been like that? Now he's been the normal one. Why are they in the snow globe?
Yeah, like I said, it's a very David Lynch ending. I don't think you're supposed to get it. It's supposed to mean whatever you want it to mean.
Right. Right, but yeah, it's that impotence stuff, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to give you the shot. It's going to burn it off. I'm like, oh, great. But no. I don't know if someone doesn't know what the word impotent means in this movie. at all. But yeah, as you said, point out, just impotent, sexing, impotent. No. But that's all I got. So I will go first for number of severed body parts out of 10. This is an interesting movie. It's definitely something you have to watch at least once, maybe twice. So for that being, I will give this 7 severed body parts out of 10. How about you?
Again, I really like this movie. This is one of my favorites from that era. Just how weird and bizarre and original and unique this film is. I like it a lot. I'm going to give it a 9.
A 9?
9 severed body parts out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, this is one of those things. Like I said, I'm like, yeah, I know I saw this. How long ago I saw it? It's probably been since the late 90s. But there's still parts that you remember, like he's just casually shooting the Boy Scouts as he walked one by one through the door. So, all right. Well, our last one is Shaun of the Dead from 2004. Now, if anyone hasn't seen this, I mean, come on. It's been 20 years. You should see it. But essentially, just the TLDR is, what if British Night of the Living Dead? But we'll get more into that, obviously. So we're introduced to, you know, Sean, who lives with his two roommates from college, essentially. One being Ed, who's been his best friend. The other one's, you know, Peter, who they've been, you know, working and all that stuff. But we kind of go see, you know, Sean and Ed's, like, work all day. Well, Sean works all day, then Ed just stays at home playing PS2. And you know, seeing how society is just coming zombie like we get little hints and snippets, like, oh, it's gonna be zombies. No, it's just people listening to music. No, it's just people on the bus. No, it's just, you know, Sean waking up in the uncaffeinated state that he is. Introduced to, you know, his girlfriend Liz and their group of, and her two roommates, who one of them, David, is desperately in love with Liz. all this stuff. You know, Sean works at a, I don't know what you want to call it, like an electronics store, but also like vacuum, like an EBT essentially electronics, I would say.
Best Buy sold like electronics, but they also had appliances.
Yeah.
This is the era of Best Buy, so.
That's true. Or Circuit City.
Same difference.
Yeah. But yeah, Sean's just kind of oblivious to everything that's going on there. Like I said, we see a lot of stuff in the background of people getting attacked and stuff like that that Sean just generally misses most of it. Anyway, he's supposed to be going out with Liz, and she's like, hey, we gotta go to this restaurant. He's like, okay, oh shit, I forgot to do that. He has to go next day, you know, bring flowers to his mom and his talk to his stepdad, Phil, and everything kind of goes to hell and has back. Liz breaks up with her. You know, he's at the Winchester, you know, talking to the people there and just trying to relive the stuff of his 3 years that he had with Liz because, you know, all they ever wanted to do was go out drinking to their favorite bar and, you know, had yet to even meet her, his mom, so that's fair. But eventually zombies break out. You know, they wake up and there's a woman in the garden who is, they thought was drunk at first, kind of attacks them like, oh, shit, let's push her off. She gets, like, impaled on the patio umbrella stand and gets back up. Okay, this isn't cool. So they start trying to figure out what to do with her. Another guy shows up, so they start, like, throwing records and all the shit at them. Eventually they get, like, a shovel and a cricket club and bash their heads. Like, okay, something's going on around here. They finally turn on the news instead of just flipping through everything. Like, yeah, stay indoors. Don't get bit. Yeah, help's on the way. Just lockdown. Like, okay, what do we do? So he talks, calls his mom. She's like, yeah, I'm fine. But Phil, he was bit. Okay, well, now we got to go get, you know, Phil, kill Phil, save our mom, go get locked down, have a cup of tea, everything we could. Cool. It's like, no, we got to get Liz, too. All right, go to Liz's house, get mom, kill Phil, come back here, and everything will be fine. No, let's go to Winchester. All right, so they change the plans. So they go and go get, you know, Sean's mom. And Phil is definitely bit, but he's still human. They don't want to kill him quite yet. So they get into his car, and they go get Liz. And it's like, yeah, I don't want to go. Then, oh, wait, my room is going to come too. So, like, okay, cool. They all kind of pile into the car. And while they're driving towards the Winchester, Phil turns. They stop the car. And, you know, they go away. And, like, okay, well, they can't get in the car. So now they have to walk through yards, essentially, as they call them, gardens, to get to the Winchester. You know, they kind of make their way there, past a group of people they also see, and just lots of comedy and stuff going along there, and they, like, realize, oh, wait, we have to go through a whole bunch of zombies before we do. All right, well, here's the zombie that's kind of trapped. Let's all act like zombies to get to the Winchester. Cool. So they kind of do that and get there. And, like, okay, we're here. Now what? Well, the door is locked. We can't get in. Let's break a window. Well, no, that'd be bad, because that's the whole idea is to go into the Winchester because it has a gun. They know the place. It has beer. And it's secured. Breaking the window would just invite the zombies into their area. Well, that's what they end up having to do. They kind of barricade themselves in. Yeah, and then zombies attack happen. You know, the mom gets bitten, she gets turned, they have to put her down. David and his girlfriend's roommate kind of just get, like, torn to pieces by the zombies. And they're trying to fight. They get the Winchester is low, they start shooting zombies, try to figure out the next plan of attack. And all that's going on there. Eventually that we see that Ed gets bitten. So he kind of, like, sacrifices himself to save, you know, Liz and Sean. They make it out. As they're getting out there, the army shows up and starts shooting the zombies. And the movie kind of ends with, like, okay, everything seems to be fine. Oh, wait, hey, I'm going to go to the shed for a while. And he's keeping Ed in the shed as a zombie just to play games with him and keep him around. And you see that, like, they start doing, like, menial tasks, like, you know, cart return people and stuff like that in society, and just that introduction to it. And that's pretty much the roundabout of it, right?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. So, I know I've seen this. I probably watch this movie once a year. I'm pretty sure I saw it in theaters when it came out. And I was already a fan of space at this point in time. So I was excited when this movie came out. It's like, oh, it's going to be Edgar Wright, you know, Nick Frost, and Simon Pegg. So I was excited to see this when it came out. And like I said, I just watch it every year. Do you recall, like, your first time seeing it and rewatches of it?
I mean, I watched it right when it first came out. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who they were before that point. I did go back and watch Space later on. I think it was after Hot Fuzz. I think I like Hot Fuzz better than this movie. Mm. I think it's a better put together movie. I mean, it's a lot of the same actors and people and stuff. I just think that one is a lot better of a film than this one. I mean, obviously it's not a bad movie, but I think it's just because it hit the mainstream and it was like funny and a lot of people liked it. A lot of the horror community kind of latched onto this movie and pumped it up to the point where I think they made it more than what it is. Mm. Like, there's so many people that, oh, this is the greatest movie ever made. And, like, it's not. And it's an alright movie. It's, you know, it's funny, but it's not a fantastic movie. Like, it's not a movie I could watch a lot of times. I get tired of it watching it. Like, I got tired of it a long time ago because people wanted to watch it all the time. Mm. I haven't watched it in a long time. It was okay watching again now. But again, I wouldn't want to watch it again. But yeah, it's an okay movie. I think it gets a lot more hype than it deserves.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I definitely see that amongst horror fans. Like, I know I'm one of them, but I don't always, you know, necessarily follow the whole mainstream idea of it. I think it's just good overall. We'll get into that. So, but why don't you do your highlights first?
Yeah, so this is the first movie I watched with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost together. Mm-hmm. And again, it was great. And I think Hot Fuzz is a better film, but again, they're also great together in that movie. And again, it's kind of odd because at that point in time, they kind of separated, right? Like, Simon Pegg went into, like, more Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
And he started doing, like, movies just to make, like, a paycheck. And so, like, yeah, he still had humor in him, but it was more, like, Hollywood kind of neutered humor.
Yeah.
And so, like, my like of Simon Pegg kind of went down because he wasn't doing anything fun and interesting. Like, End of the World was good. But, like, other than that, most of the stuff he was in was pretty generic Hollywood stuff that I didn't care for. Mm-hmm. Now, Nick Frost, on the other hand, jumped, and he's doing a lot of really fun, interesting stuff. He just really seems to do, like, what he wants to do.
Right.
And he did a lot of cool things. Like, he had, like, you know, he was in multiple seasons of Into the Badlands. Did you ever see Into the Badlands?
No.
It's like a martial arts TV show. And he was in it, like, doing martial arts stuff, like, crazy stuff. But he was great in it. You know, he does a lot of, like, goofy horror movies and stuff now. Sure it's does.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes he's serious. Sometimes he's, you know, the jokey version. Again, I think he came out of it, like, again, doing what he wanted. And I like him a lot more now, and Simon Pegg a lot less now. But at this point in time, I like them both together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously they did this, they did Hot Fuzz, you know, and then Spaced is, you know, they were, it's all great. But, like, after Hot Fuzz, they kind of, like, went their separate ways. And it's just very odd. It's just very weird to me. I don't even know. I know Simon Pegg is in the Mission Impossible movies. I don't even know what else he does. Like, literally, I'm so far removed. Yeah, I'm so far removed. I just don't care what he does. Like, I have no interest in seeing anything that he's done in the last decade.
Yeah.
But anyway, but they were great in this film. I guess that's what matters. Mm-hmm. And I really like how they focus in the beginning of the movie, to where, like, people are kind of sort of zombies already,
mm-hmm.
like before the outbreak even happens. Like, you know, that's why it's so hard to notice when the zombies are actually there, because people are behaving like zombies basically anyway.
Yeah,
I like how they focused on that. It was fun. And again, the humor mostly hits. You know, I mean, there's some big, you know, swing and misses, I think, but mostly it hits, which is, for comedy, as long as you're, you know, batting more than 50%, I think you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall, that's what I got.
Yeah. Like I said, the phrasing, like, it's, to me, it's iconic. You could probably say a lot of lines to people exactly what you're talking about in the movie. As you said, like, the whole idea of zombies. And this is 2004. And I'd say, you know, cell phones now are more prevalent and more zombie-like than they were 20 years ago. But yes, it's good social satire. built into it. The comedic timing, I think, works well. You have Simon Pegg playing the straight man for the most part, right? And Nick Frost is doing really the more off-the-wall, goofy-ass things, like his ring-ting stuff. He just says random shit whenever he feels like it. And you may disagree with this, but this may be, in my opinion, the best of the Deads that is not a Romero movie. I know they got Romero's sign-off on this movie, to the point that he liked it and even put them into Land of the Dead as cameos.
Yeah, they were like the carnival ones that were tied up or whatever.
Yeah, they were. But I said, but to get blessings from, I think, George Romero for a horror comedy, I think, is something in itself.
Well, I think Romero is open to it. Again, as long as you asked him, right? As long as you ran it past him. A lot of people just copied off of him and never bothered talking or asking anything at all. Those are the ones that he was not happy about.
Correct.
Yeah, it was like they went out of their way to like make sure that he was cool with it, and and he was very much cool with it. So,
yeah, like I said, I think it's the best of the Deads that's not by him.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. That's fair. I think the music, it works well in it. Yeah, I think if I can't listen to "Don't Stop Me Now" by Queen without listening to imagining the pool cue scene, and it kind of shows like, and this to me that shows like Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright is notoriously known for his good music placement, and this really is the first showing of it.
He's not bad. He's way better than Zack Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
Zack Snyder, I think, has the worst music placement out of any director I've ever seen. There's some scenes in his films of music that just make me, like, cringe, like, implode into myself. Like, oh, my God, it's so bad.
And considering he was a music video director, yeah, that's crazy.
Right, yeah. Like, I mean, like, I can't watch The Watchmen anymore. Because there's like multiple scenes where the music is so bad that I can't get over it. It's like the scene in Captain Marvel where they like kick into "I'm Just a Girl."
Yep.
It's like, you know, it's so bad that I can't watch it. And it's like, yeah, Zack Snyder's like, I think, the king of that. But no, mostly it's Edgar Wright's decent.
Yeah. And I said, and the gore. I think, you know, practical effects, I think the gore were on par with most of the Deads that exist out there, which is good. You know, I don't think it looks schlocky to me. I'll roll into my low points. Dogs can, in fact, look up. I don't know what that joke is referencing.
Yeah, no, I know that because my dog was watching a plane the other day. So I know they can.
Yeah. Obviously David is the worst. You're not supposed to like David. He is the worst, though, and that's why we see him brutally murdered the best, right? I think that keeps it in tradition, but yeah, David's awful.
I mean, he's logical.
He's logical, but he's an asshole
to a degree.
And that's really all I got for my low points. How about you?
I'll say just the lack of blood overall on people, like after murdering like multiple people with blunt force trauma, and there's just like a couple of sprays on like people, I don't think that's accurate. The whole like pretending to be zombie scene, like that's just bizarre to me. Like all you have to do is pretend. Like there's nothing, like a lot of every other zombie movie when they like do like the zombie like camouflage, they like wrap themselves in rotting, you know, corpses or guts or whatever.
You
like,
mean cover their scent?
Right. Something. they just, like, pretend like they're zombies. And, like, half of them aren't even barely trying. And it's they somehow, like, get all the way through. Like, I don't understand that part. It's just so off brand for any other zombie movie. Like, I get it's, like, played up for yucks and stuff. But, like, I just don't understand that. And then, like, there's multiple times where they're like zombies are about to break through a window or attack them or whatever, and then they go into like long conversations with each other, and the zombies just like patiently wait until they're done with their conversation before continuing with what they were doing earlier. There's a lot of scenes like that, and again, I know it's done for humor and placement and, you know, comedic timing or whatever, but it's like you literally see them in the background of the scene just waiting patiently. Just funny. It's all like that.
All right, then. So how many severed body parts out of 10 do you give Shaun of the Dead from 2004?
Again, it's not a bad movie. I think it's a overhyped movie. I think, you know, people put it in this like cult status of being like one of the greatest movies ever. I don't think it's there. It's a fun movie, but I don't think it's that great. So I'll give it a 7. 7 severed body parts out of 10.
Yeah, like I said, you know where I stand with this. This is a 9 for me. It arguably is one of the best zombie movies we had in the past 20 years. I enjoy this way more than the Dawn of the Dead remake. Definitely better than, you know, Flight of the Dead and Diary of the Dead.
I like Diary of the Dead.
It's all right. I think this is way better than Army of the Dead. I did not like that one at all.
No, that's the things that bothers me a lot, right? It's like Romero is like the kind of undisputed champion of like what zombies are, and I think if in his later career he tried to like change the zombies to make them like smarter and stuff like that, and I think that kind of hurt the zombie genre overall.
Because,
like, if he can make changes, then everybody can make changes. And then everybody just started changing up the formulas and making everything goofy and wacky. Like, I really wish people would stick with the original recipe of it. You know what I mean? But it's, again, it's like, you know, anytime you have a monster, like, again, anytime you have a vampire or a werewolf, like, you have to explain your rules for that monster in your movie. Because so many movies have different rules for different monsters. Some rules are in effect, some rules are not. You know, it's all over the place. So I guess you kind of have to do that for zombies. I guess I'm just more of a purist when it comes to that. And I shouldn't be, because it's, you know, it's just a movie monster, right? You know, different people have different versions of it. And again, I just do that. But I guess I'm just a purist. That there's just so many people around that time. It was like Shaun of the Dead, I think, was the kind of catalyst for the new like zombie obsession, you know. And then it was like you know, everybody was obsessed with zombies, and then of course The Walking Dead came out, and everybody was like zombie everything for a long time, and it killed it. It literally killed the whole genre. Like everything, like it's all gone now because the people overdosed the shit out of it, and it's just not fun anymore. And I think this movie kind of started that whole thing. And again, Romero himself, you know, attributed to that. I'm not saying that he didn't. It's just, yeah, everybody started making their own changes, and then it just kind of flooded the market with wacky, goofy zombie versions, and then it just came all watered down and then not fun anymore.
And again, I just see that. Zombievers? Yeah.
Yeah, again, I just see Shaun of the Dead as kind of like the beginning of that. So everything prior to Shaun of the Dead is kind of like pure zombie films, and everything after that is when it starts getting, oh, we can be wacky with zombies too. And it's just so many people think that there's, you know, it's so funny, you know, oh, Shaun of the Dead is my big inspiration. Like, I think it's, yeah, Shaun of the Dead is not bad by itself, but I think it sparked a lot of the crap I don't like.
I can see that. That's fair. All right, anything else to add before we wrap this up?
Nope.
All right, well, we've had our fill of body parts. Next, we get to sink our teeth into Suburbia. So let's prepare to survive the Nights of Fright with Fright Night 1 and 2. Yes, the original ones from the 80s. And the remake of the first Fright Night, because I don't really want to watch the remake of the second one, because it's not good.
Again, I didn't even know there was one until right now. Well, until we were talking about it earlier, but I've seen Fright Night, the original, and I've seen the remake. I've never seen the sequel to the original.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I never seen it. I don't even know if I knew it existed, like, until fairly recently. Because I saw the first one, and I was like, oh, I saw the first one. I'll watch the remake. Like, And then later on, I was looking at something. I was like, wait, there's a sequel to the first one? I had no idea.
Well, it almost suffers from the same Hills Have Eyes syndrome, right? Everyone knows Hills Have Eyes. Most people don't know number two, and most people don't realize that the sequel or the remake had a sequel as well.
You know? I did. I love those movies, so I had heard about those. But yeah, a lot of the remakes and sequels that I don't hear about. Yeah, I kind of, it's mystery to me how they like just slip under the radar, like nobody talks about them.
I mean, we've had like four I Spit in Your Grave, so.
Yeah, and I think I've seen quite a few of them.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's the original, and then they did a remake, and then there's like two sequels to the remake.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm excited though. Like I said, I haven't watched the Fright Nights in a while, so I'm excited to watch them again. And for you, you get to watch a new one. So
yeah, it's, the sequel I haven't seen. The first one I haven't seen for a long time. Mm-hmm. The remake I think I saw right after it came out. I haven't seen it since, so that was a while ago.
Yeah, it's 2011.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. But remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.